In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, who had been brought up with Herod's, Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogue. John was with them as their helper. Now, if you'll jump down to verse 13. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them and departed to Jerusalem. So here we have them setting off, but in the middle of the journey, John leaves. Now, I'd like for you to turn one more scripture in chapter 15, verse 36, because this had an impact on their relationship with Paul and Mark in particular. In Acts 15, verse 36, it says, "Sometime later," this is the second missionary journey, "Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let's go back and visit the brothers in the towns, in all the towns where they preach the word of the Lord, and see how they are doing.' Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the word. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord." Now, we don't know why Mark left. We really don't know why he departed. That first missionary journey was about halfway through, and then he decides to go back to Jerusalem. Maybe he was homesick. You know, missionary work is tough. He's on the road. You know, he's living with different people. You know, maybe he was uncomfortable with some of the things he saw. Maybe there were family needs back in Jerusalem. We don't know that. Maybe it was just a lack of commitment on his part. We don't know the reason for Mark's departure, but Paul was set against having him to be with him again. So that caused this rift. You know, it's always difficult to handle disappointments from those whom you trust and love. People make commitments to each other. They cannot keep them sometimes. Maybe it's because they didn't count the cost. Maybe circumstances got in their way and they couldn't keep their commitment. You know, maybe something out of their control, maybe not. But the church is a family, the family of God. And like all families, you know, we take each other for granted. You know, we assume that we're going to be there. The good qualities and the gifts of a person are overshadowed by something they did, a wrong word. Maybe we forgot to appreciate them. Then there are times when there's offense. Sometimes when people just commit sin against another person. Jesus won the war against sin and death for us all. Amen? We're still in the war. We're still in the battle. And I think I just lost my mic. There it is. It's back again. So there are times when sin has become an offense and we refuse to forgive people for even the most minor offense. Sometimes people aren't mentioned, you know, recognized for what they do, and, you know, they get hurt because maybe they were doing it for the wrong reason. We expect so much from one another. We expect so much. They should know better, we say. Well, they probably do know better. Let's pause now and give thanks for the hope God has granted us. This hope is grounded in the belief that my brothers and sisters will, over time, become more like Jesus. That's our hope. That we have a hope for one another, that we become more like Jesus. Our hope is that love and forgiveness and repentance will take greater hold in the hearts of those we walk with in the Lord. This hope is not grounded in a wishful thinking, well, I hope that they'll get better. And, you know, it is a hope that's grounded in the transforming power of God. God is not done with us yet. Amen? Aren't you glad He's not done with you? You know, we look at ourselves, if we look honestly in the mirror, we go, oh, wow. But then, you know, we look at one another, and sometimes we expect more from them than we have expected from ourselves. Spiritual growth may be slow, but it is guaranteed. Philippians 1, Paul says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That is our hope. That when we look around, that our brothers and sisters are growing. We can't see it all the time. And we need this hope. Otherwise, how can we have hope for ourselves? You know, if I lose hope that someone else is going to grow, that someone else is going to mature, well, how can I have hope for me? Because I need the same thing. Spiritual progress does not happen overnight. Not long ago, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a preacher, and he was a little discouraged about the progress of the congregation. You know, in his mind, he's looking out, no one's really growing, no one's catching it, no one's, you know, doing what they need to do. And I said to him, you know, I have learned over the years that people grow like trees. You know, you can sit and look at a mighty oak. You can sit there for days and not see it grow. Come back in a year, you might see a difference. People grow slow, but people do grow. We take for granted the spiritual growth that people ought to have, but we give thanks that God will continue for their progress. And we are part of that process. Ephesians chapter 3 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work in us. You see, Christians we're not in a self-help program here. You know, we're not trying to figure it out in some, you know, mystical way. It is his power working in us. It's him doing something that we cannot do. And that's our hope. That's our assurance. And it's for him to, he gets the glory and the honor because we are his people and his work is seen in us in spite of us. Now this hope leads us to the purpose we have within the church. God's purpose for us is to serve one another for spiritual progress. Yeah, we ask God to work, but then he says, okay, I'm going to work in your brother or your sister, and here's what I'm going to do through you for them. It's still God doing the work, but we play an essential role in that work. It's a mystery how God would use brokenness in us, and he would use us, though we are broken and we haven't arrived, to help somebody else to make progress in the Lord. But he does use us that we may serve one another and help each other grow up in faith. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16, this is explained. Paul says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Why? Why do you give these gifts? To prepare God's people for works of service. Why are they serving? So that the body of Christ, as Christians, may be built up until they all reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That we no longer be infants tossed back and forth and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined together, held together by every supporting ligament, rose and built itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, those last few words are very important. As each part does its work. I want to encourage you to just take that particular scripture and go home and read it again and again. And recognize what it's saying about your purpose as a Christian. These verses lie in a necessary process for the preparation of every Christian to fulfill his purpose within the church. Do not leave here thinking that you have no role. Your role is vital. Every person's role is vital. It is vital to the growth of another person. This is the calling of God, that we are prepared that each one reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, that we might grow up, we might be mature, and every person is vital to the spiritual health of a congregation. Every single person. We answer the call of God because we love God and we love one another. This is how we show our love for each other, that we are very concerned not only for the physical, but we are concerned for the spiritual welfare. And maybe even more important that we're concerned about the spiritual welfare of our brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope that you have somebody that has made a difference in your life. You can think back and that you can recognize what they did because of their investment. And it's not just because Mike is here. He actually is also in my sermon notes, which is, again, interesting. But, you know, I testify to the impact that one man, one brother, made in my life. And I thank Tracy many, many times over for all the days that after church service, I would stop Mike. We'd be down at the grotto. I don't know if you remember this. We were down at the grotto. Some of you remember the grotto, okay? Putting up chairs, tables, and all that. So after many of you had gone, putting up chairs, and we left, there were two families left, my family and their family. And my family and Mike's family were ready to go eat lunch, and I had questions. And I would stop him, I think it was every Sunday. I'd say, hey, Mike, I have a question about, it might have been about sermon. It might have been something I was reading or studying. I was so hungry to learn, so hungry to get this, you know, more about the Word. And sometimes our wives would, hey, you know, come on, let's go, we need to eat. And then one Sunday, I don't know if you remember this or not, we went to leave and I didn't have any questions. And you stopped me. You said, Len, don't you have any questions today? And I said, no, I guess I don't, that particular day anyway. But the many, many hours that, you know, Mike and some of you others invested in me were the meaningful foundation that I was able to have in my life because of the one person coming to another person and ministering to them in this particular way. And I think it's so important that we understand that growth within a congregation does not happen in a committee. It happens when one person comes to another person and says, hey, you know, I'd like to help you in your faith. I'd like to study with you. I'd like to share with you what's been shared with me. Too many times Christians have been in Bible studies for decades of gathering knowledge and information, and they don't do anything with it. And there's somebody out there, and there are thousands of people around you who do not know an iota about the Word of God. They don't know anything. And we bring them to the baptismal waters, and we baptize them into Christ. But sometimes, and I've been guilty of this too, you know, we think, that's it. Okay, woo, okay, next person, you know. But that person who's become a babe in Christ now needs nurturing. They need somebody who will come alongside them, and that somebody needs to be you and me. It means there's a commitment to grow. And that's how you make a difference. And you might say, well, I don't know enough of the Bible. And, you know, what if they ask me a question I can't answer? And, you know, we go through this, or I'm too busy, or whatever it might be. Okay, I want you to put that stuff aside. Just put it aside. If nothing else, you know what you could do? What if they say you don't know much about the Bible? Sit down with another person who's just become a Christian and discover along with them. You don't have to come as the teacher. Come as one who's going to walk alongside that person and say, hey, listen, read the Word together, have some coffee, and let's discuss this. Let's pray together. You see, people don't grow up in a committee. They grow up when there's one-on-one, when everyone does something to help another person to grow up in faith. It is so important. And this is our purpose within the body of Christ. Our purpose in the body of Christ is to help people to grow up. Once they are become Christians, we are responsible for their spiritual development. And it takes time, and it takes commitment, and it's inconvenient sometimes. But let me tell you what, when you invest in people like that, over time you will find such a great blessing. You will never want to stop. You will never want to stop. I work with a young man who is a blank slate. He doesn't know anything about the Lord or about faith or anything. And he is he's 23. He's the typical these days. I'm discipling one guy who's 25. He goes to Valley. But he drives from Pennsylvania to come over to Valley. And he is coming twice a week so that he and I can meet. And it's so exciting to help him along. He doesn't know the Old Testament stories. He doesn't know David and Goliath. That's the society which we engage. And think about this, okay? This is really exciting. Because if you don't think you know a lot, okay, in what city you've been in Bible study for, in what city can you, okay? All right, and then you think, well, I don't know, you know, the deep theological truths. All you have to do is start with the stories that you do know, because they light up. You know, these folks, they don't know this. They don't know these truths. And everyone can do that. Or maybe you will just see somebody who is down on a particular Sunday. And maybe God has brought you through the same kind of struggle that they're going. You know, in the comfort that God has given you through great struggle, you can comfort somebody else in that struggle. See, it doesn't always have to be teaching. It should include that. But it's also the compassion and love we share with one another. God has called us to a great purpose, to invest in each other. This is our love for God. This is our love for one another. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Love compels us to do. Love compels us not to overlook the needs of the people around us. We engage in meaningful fellowship with brothers and sisters, and we go beyond, wow, it's going to be a nice day today. We demonstrate that love with action and truth. The Apostle Paul, again, objected to taking Mark along with him on the missionary journey. It seemed that Paul, though still had hope in Mark, it wasn't written in the words we read, but listen to what Paul writes later. In 2 Timothy 4, he says, only Luke is with me. This is toward the end of the letter. He says, get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Isn't that awesome? So what we found was that Paul says, no, Mark, you know, I'm not taking Mark. He let me down. He let us down. I'm not taking him. He's unreliable, whatever the reason was. Years later, Mark comes full circle. Paul evidently still had hope that this man could change, and he did. Colossians chapter 4. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you greeting, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instruction about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. See, Mark was on his way. And Paul didn't give up hope. And there was still a purpose for Mark. And Mark went on later to pen one of the Gospels. the gospel according to Mark. We never know how God is going to use us in little ways, but we give thanks for hope and purpose that God's put in our lives. And that hope and that purpose reside right here. Because our God is an awesome God. And, you know, and as He hasn't given up hope in us, we don't give up hope in one another. As His purposes are worked out in our lives, we help them to be worked out in each other's lives. Therefore, encourage one another. Have a hymn of decision. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, and we invite you to come forward, confess His name, turn from your sins, and be baptized into Christ. But maybe your decision is more that you need to move forward in your faith. Maybe your decision is that you have people in your life, maybe someone in your life that you need to get right with within the body of Christ. Or maybe there is somebody that needs help, and if you are in a position to help them, maybe it's a word of encouragement. Don't allow these relationships just to pass by until Monday. You know, allow them to flourish and fulfill your purpose within the body.
Let's all stand. Encourage you, and we know that God encourages. moment there, proclaiming just a moment.
Stay here with me. We'll have the closing prayer here in a moment, but I just want to thank Lynn once again, a great message. Mm-hmm. It was obviously a lot to pick, a lot of ponder this week. And next Sunday will be part three of the series he's doing, so I know you'll be excited to hear that. Also, tonight at 6 o'clock is our annual, that's our pie theater with Jonathan White. So we'll have us have great pies, as David mentioned earlier, to be in the service. And great music from Jonathan White. I hope each and every one can make it. I know a lot of us have asked a lot of people to be here tonight. Maybe touch base with them this afternoon and see if they can come. I think that's it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we close today. Heavenly Father, as we close today, Lord, we just thank you for each other. We thank you for the words that Glenn had spoke to us, your words, Lord, and how they inspire us. Father, I just pray that as we go out this week today and this week, that we do not miss that opportunity to share your word with those that don't know anything about you. Father, I just thank you so much for Brother Butch here in his testimony and how it is the word is spoken to him today. Father, I just I lift him up, him and worthy of you, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we close, I have to say something this morning. I've been debating all through the sermon this thing, but I haven't mentioned in years and years and years. But I went through a real dark spot in my life. And I remember the hour sitting and talking to Mike. Poor Mike. and then I was an old man in Christ. I was probably 4 or 5 years old. And I turned around to this newbie, Len, who had been around probably 3 or 4 years. And turning to him in this time of darkness, he'd see me pulling in the driveway and thought, oh no, here he comes again. And the hours and hours that I spent talking to him and him helping me through, that you know, we all have that opportunity. You know, this is a daily walk with Christ, and we can make a difference to others. And I just want them to know what a difference they've made in my life, and what a blessing. And you know, through God, all things are possible. And my life has turned out just wonderful because of God and because of them. Let's close with the song "Soon and Very Soon."